to talk about this for very long, but I do have a problem.
You know this is going to go for like a half hour,
oh,
right?
Jesus, here's the first hour of the podcast.
I know, right? It's going to go for a half hour. That's what we always. That's what happened that with the Fast and the Furious thing. It was supposed to be like 15 minutes. We just spit that out. Went for like 45, and it became an episode.
Everybody's sick and tired of me talking against carbohydrates and sugars, okay?
Okay. All right.
I got one thing to fucking say. As somebody who watched the movie Interstellar,
okay,
how did everybody not have diabetes in that movie? Because the only thing they had left to eat was fucking corn. How are you not all dead? Everything you eat is based off of fucking corn. That movie was fucking... Fuck that movie.
I was driving in a stealth space shuttle way before I was paid to. Just like the way it feels.
The one good thing that came out of that stupid...
I was picking up derelict... I was picking up derelict drones from India way before they paid me to.
The one good thing that came out of that fucking movie was...
You got the equation for gravity? Be a whole lot cooler if you did.
The one great thing that came out of that movie was the fucking segment where he's watching that video of his daughter and he starts crying and somebody put the Star Wars,
oh, the Star Wars trailer
in there. That's the best thing. It's just been slowly breaking down during the Star Wars trailer. But yeah, Interstellar, 0 stars.
Yeah,
all the stars.
All the stars.
You can't possibly have
enjoyed
liked it.
Now here's the thing. I enjoyed it for the single fact of I had no idea Matt Damon was in that movie. And out of nowhere, he like sits up out of like this water coffin, right?
That's how I picture, like, Matt Damon coming into a movie.
And he's like, it's like Dracula, like coming back to life, and he just fucking sits, like this thing comes back down, like this cloth thing, and then it's just like suddenly Matt Damon, right?
I would watch a movie called Suddenly
time.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so
I would wear a shirt that says Suddenly Matt Damon.
Or print it.
Exactly. And that's why I enjoy the movie, is because out of nowhere, Matt Damon, there he is.
There you go. Mm. That's the reason for it. I've yet to see it.
I did also respect the fact that it was the science behind it was pretty good, pretty spot on. Now, as far as Matthew McConaughey, I love him in a lot of stuff, not in that movie.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
And it could have used more Anne Hathaway.
More Anne Hathaway.
Any
movie could use more Anne Hathaway. Honestly,
I'm serious, and I mean this in the most respectful way possible. I am blown the fuck away that you enjoyed that film.
I enjoyed the visuals.
It's like you're...
I enjoyed the science of it. That's the thing. Like,
what about the last 45 fucking minutes of that movie?
That made terrible. Jesus Christ, they're on.
And people are like, you didn't understand it. No, I understood it. It was just fucking shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, the whole thing is the singularity.
I hate that justification.
Like...
For the record, I hate. We just didn't understand it.
No.
I'm not a fucking moron.
It is a pretty
Eastern
cerebral
Kentucky
film.
University. Let me give you my treatise on Interstellar.
It's the same thing as Inception. Like, I'm sorry, I guess
Inception is a movie that makes dumb people feel smart for understanding it.
I enjoyed it because I never inserted any kind of intelligence into it. I was like, this is an awesome
action flick
that takes place inside of a brain, and that's about it. But... You know, I thought it had interesting concepts to it, but
every time the machine showed up in the dream, I was like, they don't need the machine. Why do they have to get to the machine? Because outside of the dream,
hold on,
you can still pump them full of more shit.
How does it work though? They never. It's just
they never do. No.
Yeah, there's this here. Suck on this cord.
Yeah, it was there like
people all the time. Just suck on this.
In that movie, they spent a grand total of 2 minutes. It's going, this is a military device. The military made it.
Yeah.
And with it, we can enter dreams. To which most of the audience goes, okay. And then that's
exactly.
About it.
I
so
mean, it's suspension of disbelief.
I was fine with the machine in premise.
Right.
But they added the machine in the dream as if it were phone booths from the Matrix.
Right.
There's no situation I can possibly fathom that they would need to go to the device in the dream.
Yeah, well, there was a whole lot of, like, key association in that movie. They had to associate certain things with, you know, physical, what they're looking at. You know what I mean?
Shouldn't you just be able to accept it and then have a manifestation exist?
That would make sense, I suppose. But they weren't able to rip the world into crazy ways without upsetting the subconscious, though.
I just saw that. I saw that in the same way as
right.
the Edward Norton in Fight Club, the gun is in my hand.
Right, yeah. Right.
How was there not just a moment where, if they just did that once, of just like, okay, we've gotten to this point where we can accept it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the final conclusion, is that we don't need the machine. The machine's bullshit.
Yeah.
One reason I liked it.
That'd be kind of awesome.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy was great in it. Tom Hardy's fine.
I don't think he's had as good as him to say.
I liked a lot of the actors in that, because I like, what's his face? Don Juan.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
yeah.
I always think of him, like, the first thing I ever saw him, one of my favorite movies as a kid was Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield, yeah. And
every time I see him, I just want to, like, wave my arms.
Yeah, wave the arms. Like, Angels in the Outfield, man.
Angels, bro.
Yeah.
Where's Danny Glover? He's going to adopt you in life.
Talk to Christopher Lloyd. Talk to Christopher Lloyd and the little black kid that I don't think went anywhere.
Was in that.
Yeah, he was an angel.
Shit,
he was an angel.
He was like the angel.
Yeah, he was the top one. So
yeah,
it was pretty great. But your dog is like really wanting to play.
Have you watched Don John yet?
I liked it.
That movie was fantastic.
I still haven't seen it. Yeah. It looks really fun.
It's so good.
I need to check it out.
Julianne Moore does a very interesting role, and I won't spoil it because it is actually you could spoil that movie very easily.
Right.
But Tony Danza.
Tony Danza's in that?
Tony Danza plays his dad.
That's awesome. I didn't have Tony Danza in that.
He plays this great, almost like, you know, who's the boss kind of role. And, but yeah, pretty good and just amazing.
I walked out of that film. I turned off that film on Netflix.
Right, I was about to say walked out. Yeah.
Having the same vibe as when I watched Silver Linings Playbook.
Right.
I know there's a lot of haters for that film. I really enjoyed that film.
Mm, yeah.
Maybe that's a sign that I have a lot of damage in my life. But,
well, you know.
And that Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm, Jennifer Lawrence is all right.
She's a pretty lady.
She's all right. And she's from the Ville. So
she's from Louisville.
She is from the Ville, which represent, yo. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the shitty thing is, I read this interview with her like 4 or 5 years ago when like Hunger Games first started becoming a thing.
Right.
And she really started becoming famous. And she said in the interview, "The reason I love Louisville so much is I can go and everybody leaves me alone. Like, they all respect me just wanting to go out and get a beer. Nobody comes up and bothers me. Nothing."
Really?
Right?
That's interesting.
So, like, immediately I was like, well, shit, now I can't bother her if I see her. Like, I can't be like, hey,
well, never take a selfie.
Well, I think there's a difference between, like, you know, greeting somebody and saying, like, I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah,
would you mind if we get a picture really quick?
Oh,
and paparazzi bullshit.
Paparazzi BS.
I think that's what somebody is talking about. They're not like, hey, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I was pumping gas.
Stop trying to get upskirts on me for just like 5 minutes.
Breckenridge Road, Kroger. I was pumping gas, and her and her dad were there, though, and I didn't say anything because of that article. So, I guess
missed your opportunity, man.
I missed it, man.
You missed it. You could have totally.
Her dad. I think it was her dad. It was an old guy.
He was an older dude, so.
And they were driving, like, a Toyota Avalon, so assuming it was her father.
Pretty normal family, that. Yeah, I remember, what's-his-face, Orlando Bloom, he said that about here when he was filming that one movie around here that took place in Elizabethtown. Yeah, that supposedly took place in Elizabethtown, but they filmed it in Louisville, but whatever. But he said it was, like, a really nice town, and there was not a whole lot of hassling. There was just people saying, hey, love your work, and then moving on.
Who's the,
like,
big one that always does the same role, the lady, Melissa McCarthy? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Is that her?
Did you just refer to her as a biggin?
Not a biggin.
A biggin.
Yeah, she's a biggin.
A biggin. Biggin.
Biggin. Well, she's got her role. She's like the female Kevin James.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, let's talk about Maul.
She's pretty much like the female Paul Blart.
Hey, right? let's talk about Paul Blart, Maul Clark 2.
Maul Clark
2. Paul Blart, Maul Clark 2. You know that movie is an entire ad for the Wynn? That's all it is.
God.
It's just a giant advertisement for the Wynn Hotel and Casino. That's the only reason they got made, is because they went to the Wynn and were like, we want to film a movie here. And they're like, okay.
That's going to do it for movie talk.
That's it for this episode of the movies.
Well, you know what time it is.
It's time for the Video Destruct Podcast.
I should not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield.
shame for this place!
Phrase. It was good.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yes, Nate is back with us. Nate
thank
Rowe.
Thank you for recording at my place. I appreciate it.
Yes, we are at his pad at the moment. So
if this one sounds better than the other ones. We may occasionally record here in the future.
just for the, but Nate won't be on. We'll just...
No, yeah, just we'll, come over. We'll, cool, we'll guys. Just, I'll just go in the back.
We'll lock, him, in, we'll lock him in the bedroom and be like, just don't come out. So we don't want to listen to that Jeff Goldblum song again.
Hey, there is Firefly on the wall.
It is, yeah.
On Solo Blaster art piece.
That's true.
See, we're in safe
territory. That's true. We are in sci-fi territory, which is why this week we're talking KOTOR. That's yes. Right.
Yeah, I feel like I just got fucking suckered. You're on the second time. We're fucking talking about Star Wars again.
You're damn right. You're damn right we are.
You know?
Talking about, there are two holy things in my life. The Holy Trinity and the Holy Trilogy.
And the Holy... You mean Back to the Future, right? Because that's the Holy Trilogy.
There's two of them.
The Holy Trilogy is Back to the Future.
I do not agree.
Say that much.
Back to the Future 3 is a piece of garbage.
No, you are insane. Shut your mouth.
That movie sucks.
It's you shut up. You lost your privileges to speak.
I can't even. I can't even, man. I can't even.
I will say that Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2 are two of the greatest films ever made.
Yes.
And then they
and
make
the third one is
Frisbee? Nikkei. Like, almost every joke in that film is either about human feces or somebody not knowing what his fucking clothes are.
It's not true. It's not true. One of the best jokes.
That's all of this is the first movie.
You gotta get a hat.
Oh man, it's a great movie.
He's
I love
in
that
the
movie.
Old West. It's hot.
You better run, squirrel.
He's gonna be sunburned, man.
Oh man, but yeah, we're talking KOTOR this week. Do we have any news that we want to talk about this week when it comes?
Battlefront trailer came out, and that's fine. Whatever. It's not actual gameplay. There's no single player in the game. It's only 40 players, not 64. Mm-hmm.
Here, I've got a quick write up that I made some notes.
Okay.
And I'm a little upset, guys.
Are you a little upset?
I'm a little perturbed.
Project your voice more, then.
All right. So I'm a little perturbed, and I see it. Yeah, it's coming.
There you go.
Light.
There we go.
So, no space battles.
No space battles from Battlefront.
From Battlefront.
Okay.
Only Galactic Civil War, which I'm totally cool with. I'm totally cool with that. I want to say.
Right.
Only six confirmed vehicles.
Only six confirmed.
Only six. They made such a big deal out of the AT-AT, and I feel... Here's my thing. If you don't have the AT-AT and you can't drive it, fine.
Right.
That's cool. Don't promote the shit out of it, and don't show it, like, repeatedly
right.
in the preview materials.
Right.
Only it's... four planets, a couple maps on each.
So is the AT-AT not confirmed of those six?
It's not, but it looks like it's on rails.
Wow.
And you can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on a rail shooter. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't drive it around. And
wait. Are you saying
no, you can't drive it.
You can't even drive it.
It's just on rails and it's going along. And yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Man. So you're a Star Wars fan.
Yes.
And you don't like rails.
Well, no.
Hang on.
Well.
You're a Star Wars fan.
Yes.
And you don't like rails.
Let's go ahead with this.
Yeah. Okay.
X-Wing and TIE Fighter are the greatest games ever made, and those are on rails.
It's not that I don't like rails, but the whole theme of Battlefront is the freedom of movement around. Now, those games are awesome on their own, right?
Yeah.
And the rails there have purpose, because when those games were created, you really didn't have the open, you know, the open kind of sandbox shooter that Battlefront is.
Right.
I don't think driving an AT-AT would be very fun.
I think it would be awful, and I think the controls would be a nightmare, because you'd have to angle the head and move the body.
But
it would be a pain in the ass. If they could figure out a way to do it, at least, or even if it was on rails and I could control it.
It would be interesting.
That would be fun. Yeah, maybe it was on rails and I could control the head.
Okay, hang on. What about this? In Call of Duty,
yes. Mm-hmm.
In Modern Warfare,
yes.
Right.
One of the best missions in that entire game is where you get to go into the AC-130 or whatever.
Oh, that was a great mission. Yeah.
Think about this. What if you call it in like a perk,
right?
And see, your teammates
cool.
can become
great.
The gunners on it.
That'd be pretty sweet.
And it just amazing. See,
that'd
I just fixed
sweet.
It. Whatever, it's fine.
Dude.
Pound
that shit. Yes.
$1 million idea.
$1 million
right
dollar
there.
Idea, right?
Millions
there.
Of dollars.
And it was the best part of that game. It will be dramatic.
Yeah.
It will be terrifying.
And it's one of those things where it doesn't happen all the time, so it's like special, and you know, you and your buddies are sitting around, and it hits. It's like,
It would be pretty sweet if you call that in.
Big deal, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
You know, I think that'd it would be awesome if you had. Think about this.
Okay, thinking about
what
it.
What if you're, you know, when you were on like a 30 kill streak or whatever it was in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2,
right?
Calling a fucking nuke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you could call in a Death Star strike?
But
I'm just fixing this whole game,
but then,
baby.
Then you just blow up the whole planet.
You could do a power down.
I guess so. Tackle.
Or you could have a Superstar Destroyer strike.
Yeah, or a Star Destroyer, comes in and like blasts them down. Yeah. Just a giant rain of fire down on the planet.
Do you guys see
surface.
The Craigslist ad for a slightly damaged Star Destroyer?
That's pretty
all
right. That's pretty right.
So back to the things, Mike. I have grievances, all right?
All right,
we're going to do grievances. Festivus here. Bust out the poll. Let's do it.
Yep, let's do it.
The last grievance, no single player campaign. Here's what I will say. We talked about this a little bit via text message. I said, here's the problem, right? I work full time. I'm an old man.
Right.
I'm an old man of 31. And... I get probably...
With a silver streaking line in your hair, by the way. I hope I gray as well as you, my friend.
Well, that shit started when I was 19, so, yeah. But
it was not funny when he was 19.
No, I bet it wasn't. Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing. Like, I get, like, 4 to 5 hours a week to play a game. But am I a casual gamer? Hell no. Right. I get really into my games, and I want the investment... My daughter is smiling right now.
She is really smiling.
I want to be able to invest myself 5 hours in something and for the week and get some enjoyment out of it and get some return.
Right.
But the problem is, like, you know, without single player, I have to get on and get the shit kicked out of me as a 31-year-old man, 13-year-old kids, for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, who have all the time in the world to get good at it.
And then, I mean, yeah, like, sure, I've got the... I'm naturally good at games like that. I can play them. But, just give me something that I can just unload into and escape into for 4 or 5 hours a week.
Agreed.
To be fair, I think what they said, though, in the press release, I don't have it in front of me, so sorry. I believe they said no traditional single-player campaign.
Okay.
Now, you end up in that kind of situation with what you got out of Titanfall. Granted, it wasn't perfect, but that was a step one in a multi-step direction.
Yes.
They are making another Titanfall that is a published by EA game. Mm-hmm. There could be some kind of collaboration between those two. Okay. Titanfall had something in it.
Right.
Where you basically turn the single-player game into a... whatever it was, 10-player co-op game.
Yeah.
And everybody's calling it robots, and it's awesome, and you know, the AI is not like cripplingly difficult and stuff like that. It was fun.
Right.
But it was a multiplayer experience, but your individual success didn't mean that much.
Right.
Yeah. So it didn't make it great at you. When you're playing a 4-on-4 game and you're getting shithoused, that is infuriating.
The other thing is this, right? As an old bastard, like, the way I connect... I mean, obviously, I get to see you guys.
Why am I defending this game?
See what I've done?
Why not?
He comes to my house and suddenly he's defending
it. And all of a sudden, he's defending it.
So, I've got a couple friends that I play one-on-one co-op still, right? Like, and so... That's the other thing I want, is, like, to be able to say, okay, let's get one or two friends and not go online, but let's just, like... play a little co-op.
There is split-screen co-op in that game.
Okay, there will be?
Yes.
Okay.
They should there are some...
All right, fine.
My grievances have been satiated.
All right, grievances is over.
Some form of couch co-op in that game. That was in the press release.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
Whether
that's
you take two people and you go online or whatever, but there is split-screen co-op.
Will Farmer, I know you listen to this. There you go, buddy. We're good.
We're good. We're okay.
Yeah, like, I'm definitely not free of concerns with that game. But, you know, it... My biggest concern, and this is what I'll say, and I've been saying this for years. It has been 9 years since DICE has released a game that has worked correctly at launch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
9 years.
Right.
But they've had 9 years to perfect that. Maybe the 10th year will be...
Maybe the 10th. they'll hit it off this time.
Maybe they finally found the hidden snow priest.
It's also...
Sony has done the best job possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Of throwing a lot of money at that to make you believe that is only on the PlayStation 4, everybody.
That's true.
That is not true.
I thought that. I was like, shit, do I need to buy a PS4? And no. don't. But.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, you say that. It's been a while since they had a game that comes out unbroken at launch. And honestly, a lot of games are coming out broken or late now. This we talked about that a few weeks ago on this podcast. Pretty much everything is coming out either broken or late.
Yeah,
so
late,
delayed.
More common right now.
Yes. But, you know, Assassin's Creed came out. That was broke. Because
the Halo the Master Chief Collection came out. Fucking busted.
Busted.
Yeah,
and
busted.
I actually played Halo the Master Chief Collection. It works great.
I feel like there's a little bit of this mentality from producers to be like, okay, just put it out now. We'll put a patch on it and everybody will be happy later on.
Yeah. Or and charge them $2.99 for the friggin' patch.
Yeah, right. Busted ass
shit. Yeah.
The developers aren't to blame.
Yeah, no.
It's the publishers.
Yeah, the publishers. Yeah, that's the producers.
You have to
producers,
meet.
Publishers. You have to meet those deadlines. Absolutely.
Right.
No, it's not the developers. I meant the producers,
yeah,
the publishers.
We've spent $200 million on this.
Mitt Romney is now making games, guys, so we're good.
Yeah, we've spent $200 million on this game.
No politics, damn it!
I don't mean anything against. He's probably a nice guy. He's probably plenty of a nice guy.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Someone like Mitt Romney, who is really only concerned with you putting your money in his pocket, is now in charge of the teams of designers who have devoted their lives to making a great user experience.
Right.
And the goals are not aligned.
I've spent a lot of time on this podcast not having politics.
And
damn it!
I don't mean it that way.
No. Right, yeah. No, yeah, EA.
Warren Buffett is fine. Yeah. We can use him as a reference, too.
You know, EA, EA, the conglomerates, you know, is the guys that they have to hit those deadlines and they don't care. Got to hit that Christmas deadline. We got to get out there for Christmas and. Broken games come out all the time, you know. You know, the friggin' Sonic franchise is dead because of it. So Sega's dead.
I hate to say it, but the truly single player only experience barely exists anymore.
Yeah.
Just because everybody's worried about longevity.
Yeah.
Because
it's true.
Everybody wants you to hang on to that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll say this: it's multiplayer last generation was bolted onto a lot of stuff that didn't need it,
mm-hmm.
mistakenly. But I feel like this generation, as far as like the collaboration, the more user-generated content, the complex leaderboard structuring that they're adding into a lot of games this generation,
right?
Even the more single-player oriented games have multiplayer in them, but it's not just like, hey, guess what? We had a deathmatch.
The only thing I will say is, back to my earlier point. There are plenty of people out there that are like me. I feel like that I don't have much time to devote to it. I want to get the most out of it that I possibly can in 4 or 5 hours a week.
Right.
And just put a fucking mini game in for me or something. You know what I mean?
Trivialize
it. I don't care. But I'm not a casual game. I get into my shit, right?
And right.
I enjoy it. I understand it. I'm passionate about it. But come on, just give me something here.
Agreed.
I was like, I mean, fuck Destiny. I wanted to vomit. I mean, I had two friends that wanted to play that game like the day it came out, and we're both like texting each other that morning, like,
right?
Waiting for work to get done so we can go pick
right.
up.
Right, just go check that out.
And then it takes like 2 hours to fucking install and get started and set up, and then everybody's like, "What is this?"
Yeah.
You know that's every game this generation, right? You have to install every game, right?
Yeah.
In my day, we didn't have to walk uphill both ways. We could just fucking put a disc in a slot and enjoy ourselves.
Blow on the cartridge, baby.
I hope you don't mind, but
absolutely.
Like, you are somebody who is still residing currently in the previous generation.
I'm about to bump.
Well, I mean, you're about to jump up. Didn't you have a PlayStation 3 at one point? Did you get rid of
it? Yes, I sold it.
Okay, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
You really only need one. But yeah, you still got a 360. You're still fairly active on it.
Yeah.
But you're
looking I downloaded Goat Simulator the other day.
Goat Simulator. Goat Sim.
Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't download that game?
That game is amazing. I'm sorry.
I downloaded that game on Steam. It's fabulous.
But I mean, like, you know, what does a company have to do
to get me on board?
For you, as somebody who's still active, I mean, what's keeping you from buying a PC?
A PC or...
The games look better there?
Yeah, well...
They play better there?
I am a Mac person.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Mac does not play on...
I just want to say I did not make the body gesture of pushing my glasses up. From last week, can we go back to this?
Yes.
Okay. So I figured today, 2 out of the top 500 supercomputers on the surface of this fucking planet
are
Windows machines. The rest are Linux devices. I will drop that there and leave it with the audience to make their own decisions.
Take that.
Yes, but what stops me from getting a PC? Very good question. Way too much investment as far as building it, as far as time goes. I mean, I would love to do that. I constantly keep up on what are the new video cards, what's going on, what's the technology doing. But no, I don't have time to build one and then troubleshoot the shit weekly. And you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wouldn't just go. I mean, yeah, it would be great to go like drop $3,000, $4,000 on a freaking Alienware or something. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to build
a really good PC for about $700.
I know exactly. Yeah. So I could go build my own, but then I got to troubleshoot. Then I got to deal with Windows. I got to do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to do that. I did.
It takes research.
I did think about doing a Hackintosh, but I don't think that's the thing. The time, you know, like. If I get a Hackintosh, that's like 3 hours of debugging a week.
All right, well then that transitions into my next question. Okay. I mean, like, what company seems to be talking your language? I mean, like, have you researched a lot of the new consoles in depth?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, completely.
What looks like something that you're going to buy?
So I just took a new job and moved across the country. That's the only reason I haven't bought one yet. But PS4 initially, and then when I started looking at it overall, I have been an Xbox person. I had an original Xbox, I had 360. I've had like four or five different 360s.
Right. As we all did.
Yeah, exactly.
Nine over here.
Brethren.
So, I mean, yeah, definitely 360 or Microsoft person for the console, but I wanted to make the shift to PS4 just because it looked better. Everything I saw as far as what I played, I would...
Games
you know,
do look better. Though.
Yeah, and it mm-hmm. just looked better, it felt better, but now with some of the interactive features where it's kind of like you have a fucking Minority Report box in your living room, I dig it. Like, it's cool. It's right. cool.
So you'll buy one with a Kinect?
Yes. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I mean, it also freaks me the hell out because then there's like this video camera on my living room all the time.
Oh, the buddy who bought a cover for his...
Oh yeah,
just to cover it.
They make a cover that
you
just covers it up.
Turn around, look at my fucking MacBook.
Oh yeah,
right there with the. You see the blue?
Oh yeah, the blue thing.
That's
yeah.
gripper
that,
shape.
That's
on top
gripper
of the
shape.
Camera. Yeah,
on top
having
of the camera.
Having worked the rack space, understanding what can happen to it's messed up.
And yeah,
yeah. Block your cameras. All right.
Yeah.
Block your fucking cameras,
dude. I'm constantly surrounded by cameras. Yeah, it's part of my parole, but
are.
I'm usually surrounded by cameras.
That ankle bracelet kind of keeps the keeps the privacy down, doesn't it?
I know that I will one day regret this, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
No,
right.
And, I mean, everybody's recorded at all times.
I'm a single man. What are you going to do? See me being fat in my living room? I'm not doing illicit drugs and reading up my social security number in front of my fucking Kinect.
Right, dude. You don't, like, you know, blast some smack in the living room and just, yeah. like, you know.
I do pray to the Xenocrist sometimes.
The hidden Xenocrist.
That's an inside joke for this podcast.
it's a really dumb inside joke.
But it's great.
Eventually. Yeah. But, yeah. So I'm going to go just because of that interface and then also some of the games. And it sounds like there might be a new Fallout.
Maybe a new Fallout?
Yeah. Bethesda has their E3 press conference, which is... This is the first time that they're doing one. They're basically opening the show with their press conference.
Yeah. And I swear to God, if they say Dishonored, I'm going to smash my head through the TV. And I've got probably 400 hours log between Fallout 3 and New Vegas. And, like, now that is one that I will get the fuck into. Like, I will cancel plans to play that shit. So
here's one, what I think will happen out of that press conference. I think they'll walk out first... And unveil Fallout.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they will just open it so everybody can go.
Just walk out and go.
Okay, we can all
Fallout.
Have a heart attack now.
They worked themselves into a corner with that game to the point where I think they're going to unveil it and say, "Yo, it's out in like 2 months."
Right.
And like they've gotten to this point where like everybody said last year at E3, like at the last minute that Microsoft had paid for exclusive rights, it was going to be there. And then that rumor turned out to maybe not be true.
Right.
And there was all those leaked documents about it taking place in Boston.
I was there the night that Survivor 2299 happened. I heard the fucking air raid siren on the friggin' ham radio feed. Okay? I heard it. I heard the garbled talk. I was part of the people, the nerds that were on the internet like, well, let's figure out this codex here. You know, fucking tipping intensifies. I was good, right?
Right.
So, I've been waiting for this for so long that I think I might break or end or destroy half the state if they don't announce Fallout 4.
I think what they'll announce is they'll
start flipping tables, baby.
I think they'll walk out and they'll say Fallout.
Right.
They'll show Mad Max.
Yeah.
You know who's making that, right? The Just Cause guys.
Just Cause.
Fuck yeah.
Just Cause.
Yeah. I think they will...
I still fire that thing up. Just Cause 2? Oh, yeah. Fire that shit up.
Just Cause?
Just Cause? I think they could have a CG trailer.
That's a pun.
I think they could have a CG trailer for the newest Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
That game did very, very well.
It did very well.
I still haven't played that.
It's incredible.
Okay. All right.
If you've waited this long, just play it on the new systems. Okay. You get it 60 frames at 1080.
You had me at 60 frames.
And, you know, dual wielding fucking shotguns and shit. It's fantastic. So I think they'll maybe talk about a new Wolfenstein. I think they will say that the beta for Doom starts that day, like,
right.
And you can go download it now. They love to do that.
This is a highly anticipated, or this is probably top anticipation. Correct, like this is probably like a perfect day for you if that's what that's.
That sounds like a perfect day. Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I mean, like, do you expect all of that to happen, or
yes.
Just like
I expect all of this to happen.
Okay. All right,
and I believe that they will close the show with whatever the Dishonored guys are doing. Whether it's new Dishonored or whatever, their next game will be there.
Enjoyed it. I didn't finish it, but I liked it. Yeah,
I like the fact that they had just the lightest touch of the cell shading on the graphics.
Yeah.
So everything looked almost like a brief watercolor. I thought that game just looked
amazing. It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I because they've got five teams.
Right.
They're all actively working on stuff.
Yeah.
True.
The Old Blood Wolfenstein standalone game is coming out May 5th.
Right.
So that will be out. People will have already digested and ready for more.
Right.
I think my dark horse here is that they announced Wolfenstein, but I believe absolutely everything else that I said will happen at that show.
All right, there we go. Right.
But that's my prediction there.
But Wolfenstein, I should wait and just get it when I get a new system.
I would recommend you get it on a new system. And then the Old Blood is a standalone game for $15.
Okay.
And I would play through the New Order, and then I'd play through that.
All right.
And I think you'll have a great time. The craziest thing about Wolfenstein is when was the last time you played a first-person shooter that had traditional first-person shooter length?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That had the old-school time
put into
it? It's like 12
or 13 hours long. It feels insane how long that game is, but it's not like outstaying its welcome. It's the most varied, exciting, fun, hilarious first-person shooter.
Yeah.
I had so much fun. The great thing is, it's funny, but it never looks at the camera.
You hate that type of humor.
Yeah,
right?
I don't like where it's just like, hey, guess what? Nazis are goofy. I hate that. I'm farting a lot today, which is weird.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, I really hate nod-and-a-wink comedy, and that game had none of it.
Right.
The only complaint I would have about the tone of that game at all is that it's occasionally super self-serious.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Blazkowicz has kind of had a shitty life, so...
His name is BJ
Blazkowicz. My first tablet. Well, no, I had an iPad, one of the original ones. But work gave it to me. But I had the first one that I actually like made the decision to purchase was Galaxy, and I had this like shitty emulator, and I had one of the original like Wolfenstein 3Ds on there, and it was the most frustrating game in the world to play because they had somehow like made these two little joysticks, and like that was all you had was
move
and shoot.
On screen analog sticks.
Oh, it was absolutely horrible.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah. I still remember like playing it. Like I saw it, and I got so excited because it was such a great game. And we used to play it. I had this friend that was like super religious parents, and he somehow got a copy of it onto his PC that was in the basement. And so we would like play it, like,
Hiding,
like, yeah. So but it was fun.
I would love to spend at least some portion of the rest of my life occasionally circle strafing around Hitler and a robot. If at all possible.
I mean, you know.
If it exists, we know what Haas will be doing.
That's yeah.
Me. Exactly.
Where's he at? He's in the robot Hitler room.
Again?
Yeah. Again? It's amazing they have that up here in heaven. I know, right? It's really weird.
True fact, that's the real Hitler getting his shit kicked out of
him. Yeah,
so,
I know.
Brandon, any movement? You ever going to buy a new console?
I might buy a new console when I get this. I got a prospect for a new job and everything. And
nice.
If I get that, I might consider picking up something. I don't know.
You talked about a Wii U. Is that fading?
I did talk about a Wii U. It's not really fading because I don't have to buy it yet, so I can wait till Zelda comes out and then get it. But I'm not super excited about the Zelda yet. You know,
no, you need to show me more than 30 seconds
of gameplay. You need to show me more than 30 seconds of gameplay. And, you know, I'm really excited about the prospect that it's open world, but the world you showed me was like a neighborhood in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not expecting it to be huge, but... Don't promote open world if, like, I can go...
Is it like, open world like Goat Simulator? Or?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like Goat Simulator size? I don't know.
You just came up with the best transition.
Yeah,
You could possibly open world.
Did I?
Oh, I know what we're going to talk about.
Oh.
Guess what I played this week?
What did you play
this week? Grand Theft Auto V on PS4.
That's right. We'll go to what you've been playing. So, there we go. That is a big success.
I kind of fell into a weird Grand Theft Auto hole.
Yeah.
I love
that game.
You caught on to that first-person era.
The first-person mode in that game is fucking awesome.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking awesome.
It's pretty rad.
A friend of mine, this is where I was sold on the PS4. I played it on friend's PS4. And, but now, obviously, Xbox, but interrupting you. But, yes, it's great. It's amazing.
I will say this, and I mean this 100%, I could never picture myself playing a Grand Theft Auto game in the future a different way.
A different way than first person.
First person. Every game.
That is so interesting, because I thought it was cool for a different way to experience the same game, but for some reason I can't picture myself playing through it without the third person view.
I'll tell you this, it would be interesting. Over, watch me play it
for
like an hour,
sure,
and you'll instantly understand, this is a lot more usable. The weirdest thing is, I'm a huge driving game guy.
Right.
I'm a huge, you give me a car in any game, I'm fucking driving it.
Right.
And for about the first 4 hours, I was having a really hard time driving in that game.
Right.
For some reason, because those cars in Grand Theft Auto are so squirrely.
Right.
Yeah.
When you put yourself in the car, I had a really hard time, maybe it's the rumble in the PS4 controller, maybe it's not quite as responsive as I'm used to in real racing games or something.
Right.
But I couldn't tell when the car was starting to step out.
Right.
Until I was like, oh, shit.
Right. Because you actually play Forza and stuff like that, which
I play a lot of,
pretty precise in there.
I play a lot of real driving games.
Well, you know, it's definitely...
consider myself an amateur professional.
Well, it's definitely a different tone in those games, especially in the way that things drive.
I like my games to typically skirt closer to the grips of reality or complete insanity.
Sure, yeah.
And that's the weird thing with Grand Theft Auto is that they kind of pulled back from Grand Theft Auto 4 where all the cars just drove like shit like they do in real life.
Right, yeah.
Everybody who hated the driving in Grand Theft Auto 4, the bad cars drove bad. Because guess what? Bad cars in real life drive like shit. But if you got a Porsche in that game, you're like, he's driving pretty good.
He's driving pretty all right. I think the critique there is that nobody's looking for realism in their driving in the game where you stomp on a prostitute and,
I don't know. I understand that there is a certain line that you have to skirt with just some people will just throw up their nose at anything that looks or feels like reality, but I don't know, man, just learn how to fucking drive. I don't know.
Everybody used to yell at me when I was trying to figure out, Halo 2, I think, had just come out. And we were playing the shit out of it, and you guys gave me so... Because I could not drive a Warthog to save my life, right? I mean, it was
What the fuck, Nate?
It was bad. I would run off cliffs. I'd run over friendlies. I would miss where I was supposed to go. Like, I would just be basically doing donuts, right? Like, holding down the accelerator, doing donuts. And Haas would be, screaming at me in the dorm room. What is wrong with you, you fucking moron?
Fun story. Halo 2 Day...
Yeah.
Oh, went at midnight, and we got that, and about 9 a.m. the next day, credits rolled, and we finished it.
We finished it.
9 a.m. the next day.
We cannonballed that game.
Cannonball
and
run.
The next day, a man vomited on my feet.
Weird how that happens, right?
Weird how that works.
I don't really want to go into too much detail.
We're not going to go into that detail.
Kind of like the ending of that game, isn't it?
We should have that story, maybe.
We didn't hate the ending of Halo 2 as much as everybody else did.
No, we liked it. We were singing and stuff, and we were loopy as hell at that point.
I remember that game ending and going, really? Like, that's kind of the feeling I had with it. It was a fun experience, don't get me wrong, but I remember it ending and just going, because you think you're going to, take back over on Master Chief, and then
can I tell
credits roll.
The disappointment
yeah.
at the GameStop? Poor Haas. So we get down there, right? We're with a couple other people, but we get down there. We stand in line for hours.
This is on getting that game.
Yeah, getting right? The game. Hours. We get up there. Haas had reserved it with his brother's credit card because you had to have a credit card. And back then, not everybody had credit cards, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
It was
yeah.
still a cash society somewhat back
yeah,
then.
There was yeah, there was a bit of a cash society yeah. back then.
So, so Haas had reserved it with his brother's credit card. Even though he had his ID and everything else that said on the website that he needed to pick it up,
right.
they wouldn't fucking give it to him.
What?
So we went in, where were we, Lexington?
Yes.
Yeah, we were in Lexington. We, you know, we lived in Richmond, which is 30 minutes away.
30 minutes away.
Yeah. So we're there, so we wait hours for this fucking game, and we get up to the counter, and they won't let Haas lit them. I have never
wow.
physically watched a man... like be given a new asshole, but
he had his
Haas was like
he had his surgery scrubs on.
He was like, "I will have you know, sir.
Do you know who I am?
On your website, you clearly list the requirements for picking up the game for which I have paid a reservation fee." And like, just let this guy have it, right? And thankfully, what was it, Buddy? Was that who? Yeah, James Buddy. Friend of ours, yeah, his last name was actually Buddy.
There we go.
He was the one whose copy we played, so.
Yeah, yeah,
that was
right.
I'll have you know, they sent me my copy and refunded me my money.
Yeah, oh, they did. He got to get a free copy later on. But yeah, they totally dicked him around, because you could tell the guy behind the counter just didn't know how to deal with it.
Right.
And,
yeah.
So,
and they had just debuted this, like,
right.
and that was like a birthday present for my brother to me.
Right.
And I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, went to go pick up again. Nope.
Couldn't let that happen. That's weird. That's yeah. that's pitiful. I actually played a game this week. I played, Haas played it as well, Mortal Kombat X. Mortal
nice.
Kombat 10, the 10th Mortal Kombat game. We talked about a lot about Mortal Kombat last week. That was the first time I really got back into that series. I'm actually really excited about playing more of that game. I played a lot of the Versus, had a lot of fun with that. And then after... my buddy Eric had a party on Saturday. I stayed after a little while, and we played a bit of the that great story mode. I love that story mode. They had it in 9. It's so cool the way it's, that you get to play with every character, like 4 fights per character. It goes all the way up the roster and just tells a story with it.
Who are you maining?
Fantastic. I am maining Sonya Blade. She is still my girl. I've always rocked with Sonya in the past since Deadly Alliance, and that's... like, I'm down with Sonya Blade.
I've oddly gone Kano.
Yeah, you have.
You went Kano?
Because Kano's never...
straight up Kano.
Because Kano's never been good right. until this game, really. Like,
Kano is always great in theory.
In theory, he's always great.
It's always been like playing with your uncle that like was good at football when he was in high school.
Right, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
now.
Better throw a football in the mountains. Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it's like playing with Uncle Rico.
It is like exactly. playing with Uncle yeah. Rico. But yeah, I mean, Kano's awesome. I actually, out of the new people, I hated Kung Jin when I first played him. And then when I actually played the campaign with him, it kind of lets you have a little bit, you know, more time with him. And the Shaolin version of him is actually really good.
Cassie Cage is really good.
I must have picked the wrong one with Cassie, because I wasn't feeling Cassie that well. Couldn't feel her out as well as I could with Sonya.
I like Cassie mainly because if you choose her, I can't think of what
Hollywood
what stance they call it.
They got co-op, Hollywood, and something else.
The one where she's more kung fu karate oriented,
right?
The great thing is you end up with a moveset that is like a mishmash.
Right.
Between Sonya and Johnny Cage.
Yeah, which is kind of obvious.
Yeah. I really like it.
Right, right. I like Jackie quite a bit, actually. She was good with the range. Good range character.
Fucking Jax.
Yeah, Jax. Yeah, Jax. Is he still bad? I've never liked Jax.
Fuck Jax.
Is Jax still bad? He's always been kind of bad. Zombie Jax was okay, because he had the giant spiky cybernetics that
you
looks
know,
like he would put his eye out if he turned his head too quickly.
You know, I'm real, real pissed at them for just, like, bandying about Stryker right in front of my face and then saying, like, guess what? You can't be Stryker. Yeah, well, you know what? Go fuck yourself.
Like, yet. You know they'll put him in the game.
Yeah,
like,
well,
here,
no, all the guys that are in that game that are... that just appear in the single-player mode
right.
and aren't in the actual game.
Right.
are just their MK9
right
moveset.
Movesets.
They don't have stances, and the people have actually unlocked the ability in the PC version. You can just rename files,
right?
So that like Kotal Kahn just plays Striker now, and it's just MK9 Striker. There's no extra options. Like it's just that. Yeah. So these characters aren't done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, honestly, before they ever release Striker, that like me and two other guys would buy, I think they will just make other characters.
Yeah, they'll probably just make other characters.
They can be yours for the low price of $3,500 a piece.
Jason Voorhees is coming.
I would pay upwards of $40 for Striker. Shit,
really?
That's ridiculous. So that I could do this, holding my middle fingers in the air.
It's like the same price as like a decent bottle of bourbon.
Yeah, you know.
Small.
Or an entire other game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that you might
MK9.
Be able to play.
I'll go buy that.
Go buy that again. That is Striker.
I still own that.
Yeah. But no, I actually really love that game, and it's got me back into the series. So
nice.
more so than 9. 9 got me interested in the series again. This one's got me back playing.
I think 9's a better game.
Yeah.
Game in the sense of like the way that the campaign is.
Right.
But there's so much more stuff in 10.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
so many more towers. They have all those living towers. You can create towers and share them with friends.
Yeah.
There's all the faction war towers, which are kind of broken right now. But the great thing is the team that leads in the faction war, you choose like whether you want to be Lin Kuei or what, you know, special forces, whatever else.
Sure. Sure.
And pretty much everybody's Lin Kuei. Like 70% of the people in the world are Lin Kuei.
Yeah. 70% of the world is Lin Kuei.
But yeah, so there's a living tower for like weekly leaderboards.
Right.
The faction that wins unlocks one stage of one tower.
Oh, okay.
And you do that, and then once all the Lin Kuei have done it, it goes to the next faction, and once a certain percentage of those people have done it, and then once everybody's played the first level in it, it unlocks the second stage in that tower.
Interesting.
Very cool. It's dumb, but it's something that like it'll make me check back every day and go, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on
over here? What's going on over here? That's pretty nice.
I have turned that game on every day since I got it.
Right. So, you basically, you picked what? You picked Quan Chi's because of Zombie Striker? Is that what you picked?
Yeah.
That's a shame that they allied him with, like, the worst character in that whole game. So.
You know, it's real fucked up, too, because, like, you know, Scorpion's a man of his own accord.
Right.
But the only association he's ever had...
Right.
Was the Brotherhood of Darkness or whatever I am Quan Chi's thing?
Right.
Scorpion. Quan Chi is the only guy he's ever associated with.
It's true.
I don't like the fact that Scorpion isn't technically part of that.
Yeah. Well, because he's already found out that he lied to him and all that jazz. So he pulled the Destro on him. So he's pissed. So.
I don't know what that means.
Never mind. So
he's a little butthurt.
We're gonna go through that G.I. Joe episode. You'll get it then. So
okay.
When we do the G.I. Joe episode, we'll you'll understand. But yeah,
I'm just gonna try to trick this sailor for half hour.
That's the only episode you want to talk about.
I
got
surely.
Talk about that.
That's the only thing I know about G.I. Joe is Tomorrowland, Foreverland, whatever.
Yeah.
The alternate dimension where they
trick
him into thinking that all these robots are real people.
That's a two-parter.
I just love to believe that somebody would spend that much money to trick a sailor.
Well, he had a code, and they had to get the code from him. So they had to spend millions and millions of dollars on these fake robotic people.
Nuclear secrets.
Oh, that's all reasonable now.
Yeah.
You got it. But yeah, Nate, you play anything? Have you played anything else, Brian?
I've not played anything else. That's the only thing I played.
Nate?
So, a couple things. I've been playing a lot of BioShock Infinite and decided to bust that back out.
Okay.
That game's incredible.
Isn't it great?
Really?
I loved it the first time through. And it was on Games with Gold. I actually had it, and I think I loaned it to a friend and never got it back or something. But, like,
weird how that happens, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about his Deadpool. Or not Deadpool, Deadwood.
Deadwood, yeah, okay.
Yeah, weird how that happens.
Yeah.
I think Kruger's in there, maybe.
I already got Kruger.
No, you got Kruger.
I took that last time.
Deadwood's, like, in there, I think.
Somewhere.
So we can get that tonight. But if it's not in there, I'll buy you an
Okay. I don't really get that much credit.
Well, I moved. Like, it was an accident. Right? Like, the movers took it, and, yeah.
With the exception of a Fast and Furious movie, the last time I pulled a DVD off a shelf to do fucking anything was 6 years ago? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I have moved on, everybody.
Yeah, so BioShock Infinite, I always have some like puzzle or whatnot game going. Two dots. I fucking love. I love it.
Two dots.
It's great. Yes. Yeah. So it's all just patterns and recognizing
an what icon game.
Yeah, it's an iOS. So I've been playing on iPad. Speaking of iPad, what I've also been playing, I just finished a run through KOTOR.
KOTOR.
Original. Yeah.
Well.
On iPad.
Now, is that like an emulated version, or is that like legit?
No, it's pretty legit, man. Yeah. It looks good.
No, but I mean, like, is it official EA release, or
no,
is this like
yeah,
some
it's on
legal
iOS,
shit?
So it's...
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So it's available in the store for
yeah,
the low low price of $77.
No, it's $10.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's $10. But yeah, pretty good.
There we go.
How's the control feel in it?
It's okay, so it does take some getting used to.
Does it do the virtual thumbstick?
No, you actually use your finger to direct him around. You just kind of run him around.
Huh.
Yeah. And then it's the same menus as you had on Xbox, and you just kind of pick, you know, like as soon as you see an enemy, and you can tap, you can double tap and do things to have different options pop up. But yeah, it's primarily finger, and you go through. I just deleted it, or I would demonstrate right now. But yeah.
Well, let's actually use this to transition into Knights of the Old Republic.
Agreed.
Yes.
I've been an hour into this podcast. I still feel like I've been bamboozled
into this
we're
one.
50 minutes.
In. 50
we've got
minutes.
30 minutes right?
We're good. We're good. We got plenty of time. All right. So,
I want you to open this.
Yeah.
With all due respect. Let's let the Star Wars guy start.
Here's the thing. I might not have a whole lot to say on this one because I have actually never physically played this game myself.
You got
to
play this, man. Especially now it's on iOS.
I have seen it played through quite a bit via just watching with my friends. But I've never actually physically played it. So go ahead. Tell us about Knights of the Old Republic, Nate.
All right. So the original game, when did it come out?
Oh, Lord.
2004.
Four, yeah.
Because it was the spring after we went to college.
Yes, it was. Yeah. But yeah, it was. It took a lot of my time when I was in college. But the thing is, it's as far as a game that will teach you the backstory of what at that point was canon of the Star Wars universe, that game explained so much in such a short amount of time that it was. I mean, that it tells you where the fucking Wookiees came from.
That's
like
true.
There was a star map on Kashyyyk, and it like advanced everything a few hundred years. So they went from like just some apes crawling around to Chewie
to Wookiees.
And you had the Wookiee.
It's a good Wookiee sound.
Yeah. All right, but yeah. So I mean, as far as that goes, it was great at setting up, especially around the time of the prequels, setting up what the Old Republic really looked like, because everybody talks about the Old Republic and how great it is and how there were all these Jedi and everything, but even though it's like 3,000 years before the prequels,
right,
it talked about, and it's got its own legend, so there's all this stuff about Sith Lords and, you know, the Jedi versus Sith War, and then the new or the Old Republic, I guess, at the time, just the Republic then, Republic and versus Sith War, the Mandalorian Wars, you know, it really gave like a glimpse into this whole period that's like referenced throughout all of the Star Wars universe.
Yes,
Hossio.
Yes,
Hossio. I will say one thing, and I'm going to say something very nice. This is the one time that anything that happened before in Star Wars was ever brought to life.
Yes.
And wasn't fucking terrible.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah. Remember when you thought the Clone Wars would be awesome? Woof.
Yeah. I know.
We saw like a clone battle. That's all we saw in that entire series.
I remember the car trip back from seeing, because we went to see Episode 3 together.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the car trip back, and Haas was like, we got in the car, everybody's quiet. And Haas just goes, what the fuck was that? And we all agreed. And that was it. Like, there wasn't a big argument. It wasn't anything. That was Episode 3. Like, arguably the best one of the prequels.
Of the prequels,
That's like looking at three turds and saying, I like that. That smells.
That turd seems okay.
Has a bit of coriander, which lightens the load on the nostrils. Yeah, I mean, that's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this. There's about 15 minutes that's salvageable in the first film. There's, believe it or not, about 30 minutes that are salvageable in that second film.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, like, maybe 31 minutes in that third movie that's okay.
Yeah.
But the problem is that third movie is so bloated. The sloppiest thing about that third movie, and I can drop it here, is that the info dump that has to happen at the end of that film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, hey, guess what? If we weren't fucking off for the last 2 hours, you could have done this gradually.
Exactly. We didn't have to get to this point immediately.
Info dump, though, is a good term to use when you're describing the original KOTOR.
Yes.
So transitioning into that,
yes, I mean, absolutely.
What a great way to do it. I mean, they talked about everything. They talked about Exar Kun. They talked about way before the Rule of Two with the Sith. So,
right.
I mean, it was just so much about the expanded universe that had been talked about in the books, that had been talked about in, like, these fan fiction communities, and suddenly it became real.
Bastila.
And suddenly it became, Bastila Shan. All right. So, yeah. And that was the other thing. I mean, it was good voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a cheesy storyline.
Yeah.
And the whole...
Fuck Karth, though. Oh, let's be honest. Karth fuck
sucks.
Karth.
Yeah,
Karth sucks. Karth is in every... That voice actor is in every BioWare game.
Right.
Fuck that character. Whoever he is in any game, fuck him.
Yeah, because what is he in... He plays himself in the second game, but he's in fucking Mass Effect.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. He's Caden.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what?
Fuck Caden. I never took Caden on a mission. Are you kidding me? Give me Garrus and the Krogan. Yeah. Or Garrus and the Krogan.
Yeah, dude, give me Rex.
Yeah.
And he'll show up and say, Shepard. And I'll be like, this is great.
Yeah.
Shepard.
But yeah, so. Shepard. So, but yeah, putting life into what had previously been a bunch of shit in forums and random obscure novels that you may or may have not read.
Right.
Putting that into life in the game.
I was wrong. Great. July 15,
2003.
I think it came out
right after.
The summer before.
I had like a 1.8 GPA my second semester at school.
Yeah.
And I am pretty sure it's because of that game.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah. So, the other thing I really liked about it, I've been on a tangent for a while, but liked about it was it wasn't easy. I mean, so much now, either you got Fallout and you just kind of wander around and, you know, I love that aspect of it, right, with Fallout. But with the open world of KOTOR, you walk around and you do stuff, and if you miss the opportunity to catch a mission, then you're fucked. You should have done it.
You should have done that mission.
Closer.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's what I really liked about it. And then, you know, so the first time you play through, you have this really natural kind of playthrough. And you get to the end, and if you didn't pay attention early in the game, suddenly the last battle was hard as shit. You know? And then the second time you play through, it's like, well, I'll go through Darkseid this time, and I'll use the game guide.
Right.
And I'll pick up all the side missions, and I'll complete all the extra character missions, and I'll do everything.
Right.
And then, like, you get to Malak, and it's like, I'll just whoop your ass
smoke
you right now, done.
Yeah.
And so that was what I really liked about it. It made you realize your choices were, you know, you could get like 30 hours, I mean, for that time period, 40 hours into that game,
that was
a long-ass time to play
that game. That was a long-ass time to play the game.
So you could get 35 hours in and realize you had fucked yourself by not learning, you know, a move that you need to fight Malak at the end.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. That was the thing about that game, was like, not only did it have a lot of content, a lot of things, it was a lot of content for a storied franchise that everybody loved.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it was just compiled on top
of
the fact that this is actually a good game representative of something we all love, and it's also really long and has lots of content that we love to play through. So, yeah, it was something.
Plus, you could change the lightsaber color.
Yeah, you could change the lightsaber color.
Yeah.
I always wanted yellow. That's me. If I went Sith, I'd go yellow.
Yeah, I was yellow, and I went bronze.
Okay.
There was one playthrough, right? One of, like, 10 playthroughs where I went bronze at the end. And I got 2 bronze crystals, and...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, no. Well, I take that back. I'm wrong. That was KOTOR 2.
That was KOTOR 2. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, regardless. But, yeah. It was of the KOTOR series.
Yes. Boss.
Yeah, like, I don't have my usual info dump for this game. Like, I've played through these games... I believe I played through both of them twice.
Right.
I'm actually playing through the first one again a little bit.
Right.
Because I've got that new Fatboy Xbox original, and playing it on there, because the backwards compatibility was atrocious for the original Xbox copy playing on a 360. So if you have an option, I would play it on a PC, or I would play it on an original Xbox.
Yeah,
okay.
That's probably the best ways to play. The PC version, by far, is going to be the best way. Nicest part about that is that any consumer-grade laptop that's not a Chromebook will run that fucking thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? They may have ported that to Chromebooks, so don't quote me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the... that game was important for its time.
Yeah.
And here's why. BioWare was a traditionally PC-focused developer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most lauded developers of all time. One of the most celebrated companies that was a PC mainstay.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that Knights of the Old Republic, in some small way, is almost as important as the original Halo for the Microsoft platform.
Right.
Microsoft threw a lot of money at BioWare and Lucas to make this happen. So the game did come out on PC at the same time, but that was back in the days where having a PC rig was much more expensive,
mm-hmm.
and it was at that time where piracy was becoming such a large portion of the PC market that
right.
you saw these two converging lines of budgets to make PC games and profit falling into line with one another, that a lot of companies, like Lucas, decided this has got to be on a console. BioWare set off to develop this game. Not a lot of people know this, but mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic, they were given a choice when BioWare went to start this product of whether to make a Episode 3 era game
mm-hmm.
yeah.
or to make or one to in the Old Republic. And they gladly jumped at that because they were given the opportunity to basically write their own fiction. It was still proofed by the Lucas team,
right,
but
yeah.
they were given the option to create their own fiction.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of the characters that you'll actually see are very similar to ones that you'll find in like other Star Wars fiction, but they're not the same name.
Right.
Because
yeah.
they made their own characters.
Right. Yeah.
Which, love it or hate it if you're a Star Wars guy, I am not a big 2000s era Star Wars guy by any means.
Right.
But I thought that they made believable characters. Mm-hmm. I thought that they brought a system from the PC combat-wise to a controller that made sense.
Right.
That was the first RPG like that I had ever played on a controller.
Right.
The entire combat is... it's basically played through pauses.
Yeah.
You queue up attacks for your team.
It's practically turn-based.
Yes, yeah. You can still do a lot of this in Mass Effect.
Right.
Also Dragon Age.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a command window, where you can actually pause the combat and queue yeah. up like magic attacks from the ERA and stuff like that. They've still brought this forward, so it... I would argue to say, without Knights of the Old Republic... and the limitless amount of money that they were given to make this big game,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you would have Mass Effect, I don't think you would have Dragon Age in the same
yeah.
form that you do today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I will say, too, to your point about they said we'll go and we'll basically be able to write all this stuff. So, Leland Chi, this guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To right those on. Who can't see what I'm doing, yeah.
Right.
So he is the director of canon for Lucasfilm.
Okay,
and
he's the guy that tells people no, it's not canon.
Right, exactly.
yeah. So we're not going to have a Christmas special.
Yeah, so,
Christmas special.
Yeah, Oracle of the Holocron is his official title.
Oh my god!
So
I'm gonna push you down the stairs.
I know, right?
But wedgie him at least.
The guy makes probably what?
Right?
He's
yeah.
in San Francisco, so probably $300-400K a year just understanding everything about Star Wars. And if
yeah.
you mention something Star Wars,
probably
he's like, "Oh, I know the book that you're referring to." But yeah, so he said it was the most respectful to the canon. So I mean, they went through and they did the research and they really went after and they said, "Okay, what do we want to pull from the books? What do we want to pull from fan fiction? What do we want to do here on all of it?"
Yeah.
And, you know.
And to be fair, a lot of those characters have been accepted into canon from that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like,
Revan.
Revan
yeah.
is an... Yeah, the Darth Revan is one of the favorites. So.
That, and this is something that I can never say for any other Star Wars game ever made, and I've played most of them.
Right.
By the time I became a Jedi... I felt like a Jedi.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
You earned your way through it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the best part of it.
Mm-hmm. And the, you know, just the trials that your character goes through along their journey, it makes you feel like you earned it.
Right, yeah.
The one thing that I always feel like the BioWare guys bring, whether you love a specific installment in a series of theirs or not, they always... they believe in struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to get to a point.
In narrative and gameplay, there's always that part in a Mass Effect game or in a Knights of the Old Republic, whatever, where you're like, this is just complete bullshit.
How dare you?
And when you cross that barrier,
right.
I feel like it's just so worth it.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things I'll say as a guy who owned all three consoles in that generation, but the Xbox was my more favorite console out of the bunch, is that that game felt big.
Yeah.
In a way that games on other systems largely didn't.
Right, I agree.
I really stress the point that I feel like that game was incredibly important for the success of that platform, in the same way that Mass Effect 1 was crucially important for the success of the Xbox 360.
Yeah, no, I agree. It just it lends itself to that, like what Nate said earlier about, like, oh, you missed a mission. Like, you can easily miss a mission in that. Like that. Oh, I missed it. What? What are you talking about? How could it possibly have so much content that I can miss some type of mission that occurred? You know,
talking Karth earlier,
right?
Fuck Karth, right?
Fuck Karth.
But I mean, that whole mission with his son.
Yeah, right.
And he's like on Korriban, you know, and you miss it unless you walk off the fucking Ebonhawk with Karth at the right time on the right planet.
Right, yeah. There's just so much content. It's a big game.
Yeah.
The end of that game when you're evil and Karth runs away like a bitch is still one of my favorite parts ever.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you totally on that.
No, you're fine. No.
I do it all the time.
No, it makes... Yeah, it's fine. but no, yeah, it's just that game, that was one of the things I remember about it when people were talking about it, was just how much game there is here. There's so much here, and did KOTOR 2 expand on that, or was it just about the same stuff?
KOTOR 2 took largely the same structure, added more gameplay. The that's Obsidian, the team that made that, is made up of a lot of older Fallout guys. There were also Baldur's Gate guys on that team. Much in the same way that, like, Fallout New Vegas... when Obsidian made that, it was a labor of love for that team because so many of them came from the Fallout team. That's how I felt about Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Right.
The issue with Knights of the Old Republic 2 that I do take is just the same issue that you have to take with every Obsidian game.
Right.
It has issues.
They
are a very small studio that runs on shoestring budgets that is brought in for massive RPG projects that are typically out of their price range.
Right.
They're one of the most talented developers in the world as far as creativity goes, but kind of just like Bethesda, you end up with, like, it's a little rough around the edges.
Yeah, exactly.
Not quite polished.
It's like when they released the Pit, you know, Bethesda, like, released the Pit DLC, and, like, suddenly the walls are all gone on every building.
Yeah,
right. So I'm
like, From Software, just that non-polished, good game, not polished.
I'm at work, and this is in, like, 2009. I'm working at a radio station. Nate calls me in the middle of the day, and he's like, hey, man, the Pit's out. I'm like, okay. He's like, it's kind of weird. I said, why? He's like, well, I finished it in like 30. It said it was done in like 30 seconds after it started, and everything is just a giant question mark everywhere. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I can tell that there's supposed to be buildings, but it's sort of just question marks.
I was just confused. I thought, like, shit, they're going real ethereal with this one. I mean, yeah, they're going way out. I mean,
man,
shit, whatever.
There you go.
Operation Anchorage was in a techno world. Maybe you just didn't realize you were still there, man.
Exactly.
It's wacky, dude.
We're in a deeper dream, you guys.
And you were, because you talked to me, you were like, dude, what's it doing? And I was like, fucking question marks. Like, the buildings aren't there. And you're like, are you high? I'm like, no, I have a real job.
No.
I'm not high.
And you're like, I'm still high.
Yeah. And you're like, Nate, it's Bethesda. Why don't you check some forums and see how fucked up that DLC really is?
That's a good point.
And then, like, a week later it was fixed. But yeah, like, that's kind of what you can expect out of Obsidian's work. It's creativity with rough edges. But, you know, specifically, we are talking about the BioWare effort. You know, the
I have to say,
one of the moments for me that I think stands out the most was walking through the tall grass on Dantooine. I always wondered what that planet was like.
Dantooine was great. For me, in this the second one, Onderon, actually, one of the most beautiful... I mean, I would play that game all the way through just to check out Onderon.
Right.
That was my favorite. I mean, you go through relatively short level. You know, you have this, like the palace, right? And you save, But I just thought the level itself was so interesting because it didn't look like any other...
Yep.
You know, I mean, Dantooine was like that. Yeah, I mean, you had Tatooine. You've got Taurus. So, I mean, that's Coruscant, you know. You've got
who gives a shit about Tatooine ever? Can I say that?
Exactly. Get the fucking rid of Tatooine. Yeah. I don't want to be on Tatooine anymore. No more.
And I know there's a Hoth level. Move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's always
there was an Endor thing. I got that. Yeah, cool. But
well, Tatooine, I think, has a lot of...
Endor's interesting to look at.
You know, like
what, I still get all emo when I see... Is that still a word? Can we still
emo?
Say?
Yeah, emo's still a thing.
All right. So
it's more derogatory than anything.
I'm being derogatory to myself. I still get kind of emotional when I see the two-sun thing, and it's like...
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like... There's some interesting things you can still do with Tatooine, because it's a mob hub.
Yeah.
Like that's an interesting thing to do. The huts are there.
Nar Shaddaa in the second one was great for that.
Like that.
That was well done. It felt like almost like you were on Corellia or something.
Yeah. That's kind of like the center of the mob for me. You know, it's like that's where like... You know, the Ferengi would hang out if this was in the Trek, you know, the Trek universe.
Like
you know?
Star Wars, I used to just hang out in the bar and just look up music. Man, remember when they made that special edition and they put that dumb singing thing in there?
Yeah, that was in
and
Jedi.
Ruined that whole song.
Oh, boy. That
ruined that song, man.
Yep, it was awful. That was in Jabba's palace. That was garbage. Yeah. Oh, man.
Fuck that.
I remember being a child, being pretty young.
You were not a child.
Being pretty young in theater. When that came out, and just going, what?
What just happened?
Just like, was that necessary?
They raped Indy.
That stupid.
One of the biggest fans of Star Wars at that time. Believe it or not, the reason I'm so angry is because I've been so hurt.
Right. Yeah. No.
After Empire Strikes Back,
I
didn't go watch Return of the Jedi in the theater.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing I will say. So,
no, I just didn't like what they did to it. I was like, I'll just watch it at home, fuck you.
The
remake, or the redo. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Special edition.
Somebody
put special, like, I think it's so, the dude, what's his name? Eric from fucking That 70s Show. Topher Grace, is that his name? So he does this whole thing where he re-edits movies.
Apparently,
they're really good.
Oh,
that's
really?
The thing. Yeah, they're like amazing. So apparently he has re-edited the first three of the prequel into one movie, and it's good. Right? So he made Star Wars good.
But how did
he make the prequel good?
I don't
know. It's 90 minutes. And there's no Jar Jar.
See,
there's all this shit that's not in there.
No Jar Jar.
And he re-edited it himself, and like
that's interesting.
And it's Anakin. And Obi-Wan, and they're sitting around a table, and the camera keeps spinning.
The thing is...
You find out the Force was just a really bad idea from they were really high one day.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing is about those prequels is just the fact that, like, I usually kind of step away from, like, improving the prequels because... They're so bad from just a movie making standpoint. If it's not a lightsaber fight, which Lucas hands off to the choreographers and the camera, you know, somebody else. If it's just a straight conversation in that movie, it's a shot reverse shot conversation on a couch in front of a table at a conference room, but it's just shot reverse shot. This guy says something, that guy says something, reaction shot goes back. It's the same thing.
It's like watching. Okay, so if both of the guys, the original guys from AC/DC, were around, right?
Yeah.
And because one of them's dead, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The original one.
The original
one. Bon Scott.
Bon Scott.
So if Bon were still around,
right?
And they had one or two songs.
We wouldn't have Brian Jones.
That 90% of the humans on Earth had seen or listened to, right? Listened to as their songs. And all of a sudden, they're up on the stage and they're like, it's this time! And it's like now, right? And it's not like back then, it's them like 40 years later going,
right?
It needs to write some songs! Yeah, exactly, right?
Nobody's gonna slow us down!
Yeah, exactly! except for the fucking beta blocker, that's going to slow you down. But whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's the watching those movies is like George Lucas just completely, he's lost whatever it was. And
you know what it is? You know what it is? He lost the struggle. Because he went through a lot of crap to get that first one made. There was a lot of love put into that first one. He suffered through the desert. It sucked shooting on location. Everything broke down. Like, it was like the worst shoot you could possibly think. And everybody thought the movie was going to bomb anyway. And then it was a hit. And then he handed off the other two movies to his friends. Like, because he barely had anything to do with Empire other than get to this point, and this point. And that's it. That's all I had to do with it.
Guess what? He's his dad.
That's all I want. Like, maybe he just gets
drops a fake microphone and leaves.
Exactly.
But he, you know, it just kind of like...
Your sister.
So I can appreciate a guy wanting to go back to, you know, doing something else, but all he did was sit in a green room. That's all they were. They were in a giant green room. There was no set.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same argument with those.
Yeah.
Is exactly how I feel about the movie 300.
Right.
Is that movie 300 feels like it was filmed in a telephone booth.
Right.
Because everything is CG around them at almost all times.
Yes.
And go look at those Star Wars prequels right now. They look like shit.
Yeah, they look like garbage. Because
they look worse than the old movies.
They look fake because they're not really there.
Yeah.
It's just, and that's the big problem with it is because it takes you out of the movie when, you know, you have your actor there. And it's not the actor's fault. A lot of people blame Hayden Christensen. I don't blame him. I don't think he can act in that environment. I don't think anybody can act well in that environment.
No, there's nobody in that entire series gave a good performance. Yeah. But
you
know, this all leads to one thing.
Yeah.
One point that I can kind of sum up this entire conversation in.
Right.
BioWare did the impossible.
Yeah.
They made something incredible during the worst era for something you used to love.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, worst era critically, I would say.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars was huge, at that point.
Huge.
It's like if your mother won the lottery
But
while she was married to a man that beat her.
Yeah, people were still in during that time. Jesus Christ.
That's what we went there.
Oh.
There it is.
But think about it.
Okay.
Right. My relationship with Star Wars is pretty fucking abusive, okay?
Okay. Well, the thing is, so, yeah, during that time, Star Wars was huge. People had not... They hadn't let go of the prequels being crap just yet. Like, there were lots of clinging around. There were people who thought that first movie was great when it first came out. Glowing reviews here and about with that first movie. Yeah. And everybody knows that first movie is garbage. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, bottom-of-the-barrel, rotten egg
midichlorians.
Trash. Midichlorians. Man. Jar Jar Binks.
I would rather watch Harsh Times.
Fucking anything that isn't Ray Park. You know, just, like it just... Anything that isn't Ray Park sucks in that movie.
That leads me to a question.
What's that?
This isn't an
he's doing the high voice.
He's doing the high voice.
High voice.
You know, that...
Your dog's about to go crazy.
What do you not get?
What do you not get, Oz? What do you not get?
What I don't get is... I know that in Star Wars, you have to latch on to something.
Right.
The Boba Fett, Darth Maul thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, I don't get it. That guy's on screen for like 10 minutes. Who gives a fuck?
There's just that... There's that presence about him. I think they have, A, two of the best designs, like, ever, period.
You should have put an actor in that costume.
Well, which one? Which one?
In the Darth Maul costume.
Well, he didn't have to act. All he had to do was twirl a lightsaber around. Who had to act?
If you had put an actor in there and gave him about 10 more lines, I might be like, you know, he was okay.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be the new Sith or the...
He's not.
Or Brianna Whoja-What's-It's from...
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, Benedict Cumberhatchin?
I don't know who that is.
He plays Sherlock. He was Khan. He was Khan in the new...
Oh, you know Benedict what? That guy that played Khan? He's okay.
He's a good actor. He's a good actor.
Have you guys seen...
I bought him as a god.
Imitation Game?
What?
Imitation Game?
No, what?
What's his movie about
Alan Turing? I've never played that.
No, it's his movie about Alan Turing.
Never seen it.
Really good.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Chevy Watt Dingleberry, but I know he was good as Khan.
Chevy Watt Dingleberry.
Sterling Himpeldink.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Some more rare British names we can throw out here.
Scrumptious Cornwallisfield.
I don't get that in the whole fiction, like the whole Boba Fett, like, ooh, he's great. I'm like,
yeah.
No.
He
died like a bitch.
He did.
A bitch in a butthole in the hole in the ground.
There again, he is my staple of greatest character design of all time.
Yeah.
Because the only reason anyone likes him is because he looks like a badass. And that's it. Like, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
In Empire, he doesn't do anything. Except he trails him to friggin' Bespin.
Yeah.
That's it. And then in Jedi, he gets taken out by a blind dude accidentally.
Jango Fett, he wasn't any better either. Jango.
Yeah. Jango sucked.
Yeah, nobody cares about Jango Fett. Jango Fett.
What's his, like, one line, like, put Captain Solo in the cargo.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And he's told not to disintegrate people.
Yeah.
He has a bigger presence in the Star Wars Christmas special. His first appearance, by the way. Yeah. First appearance ever of Boba Fett was the Star Wars Christmas special.
That's a painful memory to know that
right?
I watched that in full.
Riding a giant brontosaurus. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. He's riding a brontosaurus. Ever.
I like bad things like a lot.
You would
though.
Not like that,
dude.
I'm telling you,
it's like not even.
It's not good. Bad.
On a scale from 1 to Spring Breakers, where's it at?
Way below.
Yeah.
Spring Breakers, things happen and like things occur.
Spring Breakers is a movie with a beginning, right. Middle, and end.
Yeah,
on a scale of 1 to Pizza Jacket.
One
do you
pizza.
Like hockey? You would not like hockey, and you would not be wearing a pizza jacket.
Well, then fuck that. So that's an inside story that is real dumb. But me and Nate went to a hockey game one night.
Uh-huh.
At EKU, a hockey game.
There was a dude there wearing a 1980s Domino's pizza jacket.
Okay.
And just the whole game, I was distracted. I was like, where did he get that jacket?
Really loud and really, like, he was that guy in the stands. Yeah. And then there was another guy. And then it changed from, because Haas asked me at one point, I think I wanted a beer or something, and he's like, on a scale of 1 to pizza jacket, how much do you want a beer? And so I was like, pizza jacket, and he's like, I'll go get beer. And so he went and got beer. And then he came back, and there's a dude in an ape costume, like, beating on the boards down by the penalty box.
Okay.
And so it changed then, so pretty much for the rest of our known existence in college, it was if one of us wanted to do something, on a scale of pizza jacket to ape suit... How bad do you want to do this?
You know what? You know what?
Ape suit? Let's go do it. There was not even a question asked.
I propose that is the new rating system for Video Destruct. Ape suit to pizza jacket. Right. What do you got?
Pizza jacket's cool. But
yeah.
It's not as cool as a full-on ape suit.
But an ape suit,
yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Exactly. Well, guys, does anybody have anything else to say about Knights of the Old Republic?
Great game.
Good game. Good game.
I think that game ushered in the modern era of BioWare RPGs.
I feel like we give it a proper respect.
No matter what anybody says about Mass Effect 3, I didn't love that game. I didn't really like the way that wrapped up.
Yeah.
I felt like they accidentally painted themselves into a corner where it kind of had to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, there were other decisions outside of that, but when you get to a point where you've got that much fiction that's wrapped up around that, I feel like you don't really have a choice.
Yeah,
but
right.
That framework that they built for Knights of the Old Republic gave them the opportunity to create a universe and open the door for all of the works that came after that. They Baldur's Gate, Dungeons and Dragons style game with Dragon Age, which is a far more traditional style, BioWare game. But, everything that they have done with the Mass Effect series is entirely informed by that.
Yeah.
I'm of the opinion that Knights of the Old Republic is one of the best games of the original Xbox generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Mass Effect series is probably the best new series of the 360 generation.
Yeah.
And everything that they've accomplished since then is directly informed by the work that they did there.
Yeah.
They brought a gameplay style to a console that shouldn't have been allowed to exist there.
That's true.
They found a way to make that kind of strategic gameplay in an RPG work on a controller, work on a console, and it sold hand over fucking fist.
Yeah. Do you think it would have been, given that format and how it works and everything, do you think it would have been as successful if it not had the Star Wars license on it?
I don't think it would have been that successful, but What you may not remember is at that time, BioWare was an independent studio.
Right.
They were not owned. They had, their games were, like, this game was published by Lucas.
Right,
yeah.
And funded by Lucas, but it was developed by BioWare, who was an independent entity.
Yeah. Right.
And that game was so integral to their success. Like, the Baldur's Gate games, I don't know exact figures, they sold well.
Right.
Yeah. But they weren't multi-million blockbusters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This game was so successful that it caused BioWare and Pandemic, the studio that made Mercenaries, which is a game I would love to talk about sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
They merged together, and once they became a joined entity, Electronic Arts purchased them.
Right.
Because you had two studios that had just released two games for LucasArts that were both million sellers. The Mercenaries and Knights of the Old Republic, and they were the hottest ticket in town. It was, at that time, the biggest video game independent developer acquisition of all time.
Right.
And there's very few things that you can say that are bigger than that.
Right.
When they made history with how big that deal was. This was prior to the merger of Vivendi and Activision.
Right.
Activision Universal. This was prior to that merger where Blizzard and all that other stuff merged into Activision, and they became just this fucking monolith in the sky of shit money everywhere. You know,
wherever we go.
At that time, like, EA.
What do we do?
EA was seen as the Dark Empire.
A shaky Irish accent when you sing that.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
To coin a, you know, like a Star Trek, they were the fucking imperial bastards.
Yeah,
right.
And when EA scooped them up, that immediately made EA justified.
Yeah.
Because there's always this wave of skepticism and disdain towards Electronic Arts. There still is today.
Right.
Because a lot of people feel like, oh, Madden games, they never change, and all this other stuff. And there's all these games that, like, people buy a lot, but that other people just stare at with hatred. But EA has a very good track record of acquiring something that somebody loves.
Yeah.
Injecting a little bit of more playability to a wider audience, or informing that design decision, and having it explode.
Yeah.
Right. Look at Burnout 1 through 3.
Yeah. Right.
Burnout 1 and 2 were published by Acclaim, then Acclaim went under, and then the Criterion guys who developed Burnout got purchased for Burnout 3.
Sure. Yeah.
They took a mildly known racing series that had this small audience, and then Burnout 3, Burnout Revenge, and Burnout Paradise were all the most successful entries in that franchise.
Yeah.
And that team was then moved over to be the team that controls Need for Speed.
I mean, right. I still consider EA to be the New York Yankees of the UK Wildcats of fucking video game land. But at the same time, I'm hopeful, because you're right. They take what is, they find something that's good, and they say, look, we don't want to kill what makes this great, but we want to make more people enjoy it.
Tell that to the Ultima fans. Sorry.
They did that to them, and they did it to Westwood.
Yeah,
That's my biggest concern with Battlefield.
And then they launched a service called Origin.
What
a shit.
I don't think they deliberately do those things, obviously.
I think they could have done it.
You think they do? You think they did that to Ultima? Deliberately?
Remember a few years ago when they made a new engine for Madden, and they called the physics engine for it the Infinity Engine?
Fuck that up, didn't
they? Oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
They called their physics engine the Infinity Engine.
Yeah.
That's the game that, like, engine that Icewind Dale ran on in Baldur's Gate shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you! How about that?
Well, come on. I mean, Cortana is like Siri.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just go ahead? They have the billions. Why didn't they pay the actual voice actress to do that so that I could talk to fucking Cortana?
Okay, it's vocoder's
phone.
Because it needs to be able to say a billion words. Here's the thing.
I don't know if they're paying her that much.
You know,
they've got the money too.
I'll officially shut up after this, and we can end the episode if you guys don't have anything else to say.
No, we're fine.
But here's the one reason I'm okay.
I got one more question. Go ahead. Yeah.
Here's the one reason I'm okay with them calling their voice recognition thing Cortana.
Uh-huh.
Because if you don't know what it is, you don't give a shit. What the fuck is Siri? What does that mean? So if you're not familiar with it, it doesn't offend you, but if you are familiar with it, you're like, oh, it's Cortana. Yeah. That's why I don't give a shit, because it doesn't affect it in any way.
All right, fair enough. One last question here.
Light side or dark? Light or dark on KOTOR?
Evil.
Yeah, all right, light, dark side.
I roll fucking dark, son. You give me a choice to be evil in a game, I'm going to murder all those bitches.
I'm a monster.
In my Fallout 3 world, there is not a single killable human in the world. I killed them all. And you know what? Even those kids that just pass out,
destroys them.
I put them down countless times. I can watch a VHS tape of that on loop all fucking day.
Oh, you're just a monster behind a controller.
So I go, Nate. I go light side first.
Go light side first, and then go dark.
And then I go full on, yeah, because I feel like, for me, when I play them, I have to play through light side and like help all these people.
Right.
And then I come through and I'm like, why couldn't you do this for yourself? And then, you know, destroy half the village.
Right.
But yeah, no, it definitely light side first, though.
Yeah, I typically go light side first as well. It's hard for me to get into a game that doesn't give me a hero's journey. But it is fun to get into a game that doesn't.
Shooting all good things again.
Yeah. But it does. It is fun to get into the dark side when it comes down to it.
I'll say this. You know what I don't like about video games to give me a moral fucking choice?
What's that? Doesn't affect much?
No, you always get fucked when you go evil.
Yeah.
Because there's always more missions, better gear, better stuff if you go good.
Yeah.
You always get a shitty ending because it wasn't meant that way.
Mass Effect, if you went Renegade in Mass Effect, there were...
Yeah, but you didn't go evil, you went against the rules. Captain James T. Kirk.
Yeah, you were still.
You know, and I think that's the reason that I like Mass Effect so much, even though I'm not into space magic, is... That game.
Is there space magic in that game?
Yeah, there's all kinds of space fucking magic.
I thought it was all kind of sci-fi-ish more.
That game is one half Star Trek
and one half
Star Wars.
That's pretty cool. I haven't played that game. I need to play one of them, I guess. So there we go. All right.
Dude, I've got them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feel free.
Maybe we'll do a playthrough of one of those, huh?
Do a hips
of one of those. Huh?
I'll play through it.
Okay.
If you want me to.
Okay.
But I have to play it my way, where, because I hate space magic so much, I only use space magic.
You only use space magic.
So all I do is just like make people float everywhere. They're like, I don't have a gun. And I throw all my points in space magic.
Exactly.
Space magic. There you go.
All I want is space magic and a potato gun.
There's the title. Whoa. There's the title of this podcast.
All I need is space magic and a potato gun. Well, guys, anybody else have any other questions or thoughts on Knights of the Old Republic?
That'd be it for me.
Thank you guys for having me again.
Yes.
Yellow lightsabers.
Yes.
Yellow lightsabers.
For
yes.
life.
For life. Life. Yellow LCs. LSs, that's it.
Yeah.
I screwed that up.
LCs, I was like, Liberty City.
What do we say? What? I don't know, yeah.
I haven't played a lot of Grand Theft Auto lately.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Video Struck Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Hey.